Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Sandball Podcast Network.
Recording not live from League 6 World Headquarters, this is Fantasy Football Almost Daily.
Gobble, gobble, everybody. It's Fantasy Football Almost Daily. It's the Turkey Day DFS show. Yeah. I'm here with Brian Johnson and Trevor Jones. Hi, guys.
What up?
What's up?
Brian, you seem so thrilled to be here.
So thrilled. I'm hungry. Hungry for turkey.
Yeah?
I wish I had some gravy to put on my turkey. Oh, look at this gravy boat here.
Oh.
What an amazing contest this is.
God, you are a marketing genius.
Tell them about the gravy boat, Matt.
You tell them about the gravy boat.
The gravy boat is a $10 Thanksgiving GPP on Fanball. All three games, 10 entry max per user. None of that 150 entry bullshit you see on the other sites. We also have the Turkey Day foreplay included in this contest. So you enter the contest, roster the highest scoring quarterback, running back, wide receiver, and tight end. Must have all four on your roster. And you'll share in a $1,000 prize pool. If you're the only guy or gal, you win all $1,000. But if 1,000 people do it, you each get a dollar. But you know there's going to be some rando contrarian guy in one of those four. It's going to be tough to do to get all four in your lineup, but it is possible. So it's a nice little kicker to an already nice little contest.
Yeah, exactly.
So check it out. And then there's a drunk uncle.
Oh.
Basically, everyone's got a drunk uncle, right?
Yeah, I certainly, yeah.
And that's almost full. That contest might be full by the time this podcast has been potted. So
we're going to put it up pretty soon.
All right, cool.
We're recording this on Wednesday. We're going to put that up. It'll be up Wednesday by lunchtime. So, so we should go get in those contests. The drunk uncle's a $5 one, right?
Go on, get.
It's more than half full, and the gravy boat is also more than half full right now. So you want to get in these contests, you better go set some lineups. Come on, guys. Let's go.
Yeah, you don't want to talk to your family. You want to follow along with your Fanball rosters.
So. If they do fill up, I presume that we will have a couple of additional games that will be popping up. We do have a couple. We have quite a few on the Thursday slate. So
might throw some minis out there.
We're going to do this one a little bit different. We're not going to go game by game. We're going to go position by position. And maybe it can help you identify who you want to get in your lineup for the Turkey Day foreplay. Which, Turkey Day seems like a bad day for foreplay. Everybody's like drunk and fat. And
sometimes it's just how it has to
happen. Is that the best way to do it?
I wouldn't know, but...
You wouldn't know?
You don't think drunk and fat people want to get it on? I do. I think that. I'm not drunk yet. I'm trying to be less fat. We'll see. Anyway.
You're getting much more svelte, Brian.
Yeah.
You've been hitting the gym. We can tell.
I call it the James. I'm sophisticated.
Oh, that's very nice of you.
Go to the James.
All right. So the top quarterbacks this week. And there's six of them. Dak Prescott is 71. Phillip Rivers is 68. Stafford, 67. Keenum, 66. Cousins, 65. And Eli Manning is the dirt cheap guy at 5,600. The best matchups go to Cousins and Manning in the nightcap game, the Thursday nighter. Cousins is facing the 30th ranked pass D, while Manning is facing the 29th ranked pass D. The only guy that I think that I'm really going to avoid at all costs here is Dak Prescott, just because I think the offensive line is way too messed up for him to be effective.
What about Washington's offensive line?
That's true. They put two guys on IR this week.
Personally, I'm not touching Cousins, man.
Really?
Especially, you can't touch cousins on Thanksgiving.
No,
that's weird.
You sound like a drunk uncle now.
Oh, this could go so off the rails. But hey, I mean, how many points were the Chiefs supposed to score last week?
That's
against
true.
The Giants, right? And
yeah.
Whose defense is at full force, and now they're going to start winning games just to piss
just to
me
piss
off.
You off, yeah. Personally.
And, you know, Washington is just, they're a joke franchise. As bad as the Giants are, there's no way.
Salty Brian is the best Brian.
Washington is going to make their fans happy on Thanksgiving. That just doesn't happen for those poor bastards. So I'm liking the Giants' defense in this.
Okay.
Are they the cheapest out there in this three-game?
They're 2,900, though.
They're all cheap.
Yeah. Everybody's cheap. The only one you have to really pay up for is the Vikings at 33 in the defenses.
You know, it's a divisional game. They're usually somewhat low-scoring, even though the Giants have Eli's had big games in Washington, but we're talking defense. But, no, yeah, I'm worried about that offensive line for the Redskins, and I think Giants' defense showed up last week. They're healthy. So, yeah, I like the Giants' defense.
So,
not much for the Redskins' offense for me, really. That's probably like the one team I'm not really touching.
Which quarterback do you think will be the highest-scoring quarterback in this three-game slate? Trevor.
I pretty much have the opposite opinion of everything Brian just said.
Really?
Yeah, I think Cousins is a great play. He's fifth most expensive, ahead of only Eli Manning.
I think fifth most expensive is underselling.
Second
it.
Cheapest.
Second cheapest
say.
Starting quarterback.
Yeah, Giants have given up an average of 299 passing yards over the last 7 weeks, so you got a real shot to hit the bonus on Fanball, the 300-yard bonus.
You mean you're going to come up a yard short?
That's true.
Well,
he got
true.
You there.
But yeah, no, I really like Cousins. I think he'll be my quarterback in all of our internal contests.
That sucks. You're going to lose all your money. Well, Kirk Cousins.
No foreplay for Trevor.
Here's Cousins' touchdown totals against the Giants in his career. 1-2-1-1-1.
Ooh.
He's also thrown for at least 287 yards in his last four against the Giants.
Ooh.
Point,
yeah, this
point
is
counterpoint.
So 287.
This is my favorite podcast ever.
So 287-1 is not going to win you.
That's not going to win you the Turkey Day foreplay.
That's true. That is true. But I feel better about Cousins throwing.
I bet Case Keenum gets better numbers than that against Detroit.
Yeah, we could take. We could put a dollar on
you
that.
You want to put a dollar
put a
on
jelly bean on that?
No, we'll just put like a real American dollar.
Oh, okay.
I don't want a jelly bean on that. Let's put I'll put an American dollar on Case Keenum outscoring Kirk Cousins in Fanball points.
Done.
So I guess the guys in my strike zone there are Philip Rivers going against the Dallas defense without Sean Lee. Matthew Stafford going against the Vikings defense, which I don't particularly like. And then Case Keenum, who I just mentioned, going up against Detroit. And Detroit's been a little holy in the defense as of late, and I believe Ezekiel Ansah is going to miss this game. He's been limited in practice all week, so that's a big loss for the Lions if that's the case.
Yeah, I like Phil Rivers too, 6,800. Yeah, Dallas defense without Sean Lee has been just god awful,
atrocious.
Yeah,
yeah, that's you wanted it. I can see that word. Yeah. It was floating around up there.
I grabbed it.
Yep.
I mean, my only concern with Phil Rivers is the Dallas defense has been really bad against the running game in particular, so I don't know if we'll need a lot of volume from Phillip Rivers this week. But I could also see that game being a shootout. So,
all right, interesting.
Yeah, Rivers probably has the best chance to be the top scorer, I think, if Dallas can put up points as well. But yeah, you got to like Rivers in this game. But I think Keenum's the dark horse here to be the top scorer. Last year with the Rams, mind you, 321-3
against Detroit.
In Detroit, yes.
Wow.
So
I like that.
I like that too. And there seems to always be points in that Detroit game every Thanksgiving.
Seems to be.
So Keenum's going to score more than Cousins, like every other quarterback, basically.
All right.
I'm not positive in that, obviously. But we had a dollar bet there on something. Cousins. Lowest scoring.
Cousins versus Eli?
I'll give you that. Cousins versus Eli.
All right.
All right, I'll take Eli.
All right.
Real scientific here on this Thanksgiving Day podcast.
All right. Trevor mentioned that Dallas's defense is absolutely horrible against the run, which brings into play Melvin Gordon at 8,100. Do you have to have Melvin Gordon in your lineup just in case.
Yeah.
In a three-game slate, he's the only running back that's even above 7,000. Samaje Perine's the next highest at 6,200.
In cash, he needs to be 100% owned. In tournaments, he will be, what, 95%? I mean,
I hope not that high. But, no, yeah, in tournaments, I'm with you in cash, yeah. But tournaments, you need to have him, and then you need to not have him.
Yeah.
And then you need to have him again and you need to not have him. You got to go multi lineups on Thanksgiving, and you have to be very contrarian.
Contrarian with different contrarians.
Like, why didn't I use that contrarian play? Mm-hmm. You got to fade the chalk. And yeah, Gordon is easily the chalkiest player on this slate, without a doubt. So if you're at least do two lineups in tournaments and do one Gordon, one without, and go Eckler, and then yeah, that'll separate you from the pack in the event that something happens to Gordon or Eckler pops off.
Percent chance that Melvin Gordon is the top scoring running back in the Turkey Day foreplay. I put it about 60.
Yeah,
I'd strong. Say about 60. I'd say 69.
You're on fire today.
Not really.
Brian's in fuego. Let's go on to the rest of the running backs. If you're going to put Gordon in a lineup, which I just did, who's the running back that you want to pair with him? Is it Samaje Perine, who's missing two offensive linemen who just got placed on IR? Is it Latavius Murray and his ability to score touchdowns near the stripe somewhat inexplicably now? Who's the other guy that you want to put in?
I like Darkwa, personally.
God, so. You're back on the Giants bandwagon, aren't you?
Correct me if I'm wrong. Redskins run defense, not very good.
You are correct.
They just got...
You are not wrong.
Fisted by the combo of Alvin Kamara and Mark Ingram, so...
Is there an X-rated you can put on a podcast?
Yeah, we can, actually. Okay.
Yeah. They can say all the naughty words
like,
here. Right?
Like punched.
Yeah.
That's what we mean by fist. Yeah. Like, oh, yeah, sure. Yeah. Punched in the face. Yeah.
Like gotcha. Fist pumping after they were celebrating scoring so many touchdowns against the Redskins. But yeah, Darkwa has been getting the volume. I like the Giants in this game, sadly. I want them to lose horribly, but they're not going to. But, I mean, Darkwa is lower priced than the other the Murrays and the Perines out there, and I think people are going to – they're still not giving him any credit, but he'll get his 13 to 15 fan ball points, I think, meet value at the very least.
All right. Is Amir Abdullah the only other guy who could be in play as being maybe the top scorer? I think it's Gordon. I think it's Latavius. Maybe McKinnon, if it's a McKinnon game. I like the Darkwa angle, and I think Amir Abdullah is maybe the only other guy who can be the top scorer.
Well, the chalk combo is going to be Gordon-Murray. Murray coming off the two-touchdown game, people are just going to gravitate towards him.
Sure,
so, and
he's got a big green 30th that he's looking at.
Yeah, I like you got to like McKinnon as the contrarian option there.
I agree.
What does Detroit do for receiving running backs? I think there's some.
They're like sixth worst against receiving running backs, and yeah, that sets up for McKinnon.
So another great contrarian play there. So maybe good strategy is do like an Eckler Murray lineup, and then a McKinnon Gordon, or uber contrarian McKinnon
Darkwa.
Yeah, and speaking high level to go contrarian in a short slate like this. Don't be afraid to leave money on the table. The more, the closer you get to $0 remaining, the more likely you're going to run into the same lineup amongst multiple people, multiple competitors. So as long as your player is going to be on the field a lot, don't worry about players, I should say. Do not worry about what the cap you're leaving on the table in a three-game slate.
Correct.
Yeah, that's the way to go contrarian. You don't want to find the fourth receiver who, you know, might get two targets in the game. That's getting too cute.
Yeah.
Nice segue.
Let's talk about the wide receivers. There's a lot of interesting wide receivers here. Dez Bryant at 79. Keenan Allen coming off the great game at 77. Thielen at Diggs. 76 for Thielen. 73 for Diggs. Golden Tate, who's always pretty good at home. 72. Sterling Shepard, who's got a migraine right now and may or may not play. He's the riskiest play, I think, of the whole bunch here. He's at 69. If you're going to do a Sterling Shepard lineup, Brian, and you say you're going to leave some money on the table, who would be a guy that you would use at the flex position in that New York-Washington game or would you just go to Josh Doctson down at 4,900 and hope for the best there, or maybe Evan Engram?
Again, I'm not liking Washington in this game. The Giants secondary was like back at full force last week with Jenkins not being a bad boy anymore. Landon Collins had like 15 tackles, like he was on his game, and I don't know. I'm worried. If I'm going anyone on Washington, it's either going to be Jordan Reed, who's not a wide receiver, I know.
Yeah.
Did I say Jordan Reed? I meant Vernon Davis. I doubt Reed plays.
Okay.
And Crowder. Crowder will get probably DRC. He's not going to get Jenkins. That's all I know.
Okay.
So I don't know. I didn't answer your question.
No, you didn't.
Trevor, answer that question for me. So, he's going to say Doctson.
If Shepard does play, do you like Shepard a lot in this game? I guess that's the best way to go.
I think they will move him around enough where he's not going to get shadowed by Norman by any means. Not that Norman has been shutting anyone down lately. Michael Thomas had a good game, and Diggs just sunned him into shameland 2 weeks ago. So, yeah, I like Shepard if he plays, and I think people are reluctant to put him in their lineups right now.
Mm-hmm.
They might scramble tomorrow to do it. So his ownership percentage will probably be lower than it should be.
What's the chalk on the wide receivers? Is it Thielen? Thielen just the chalk?
Yeah, well, Thielen, he'll get the slot, so he'll see the slot more than Stephon Diggs, who'll be covered by Darius Slay, because Slay doesn't travel into the slot. Yeah. And yeah, Thielen's just seen so many targets recently.
Thielen or Keenan Allen. It's almost a coin flip there. Both coming off huge games and pretty good matchups. So those are the two chalkiest, I would say. Dez Bryant makes me nervous.
I agree.
The highest owned. He is a contrarian play, and he hasn't really been lighting it up as of late. Casey Hayward's been playing great corner for the Chargers. They choose to shadow Dez, roll coverage on him. It could be a long, long day.
I just don't think Dak's going to have enough time to get it to Dez with Bosa and Melvin Ingram hitting a depleted offensive line.
Yeah, I'm going to have very limited exposure to Dez, because that speaks to people are going to find themselves like with enough money to be like, oh, I'm just going to throw Dez Bryant in because I can. I know the name. That just goes back to don't be concerned with trying to spend all your salary cap on Thursday. So Dez is almost a full-on moonwalk for me, but I can't totally fade him, but not liking his prospects too much here.
I know we mentioned that we didn't like particularly going with a third or fourth wide receiver option, but are there any cheap wide receivers that you guys are seeing? I know Brian mentioned Jamison Crowder at 5,300. You're a Marvin Jones guy.
I am. I'm proud to say I am, but I'm not liking him with Xavier Rhodes expected to play.
Yeah.
Rhodes closed. I mean, that's the bottom line. I do think Kenny Galladay is an intriguing option. He looked somewhat spry last week against Chicago. He had a couple nice catches. Mike Williams for the Chargers is starting to ramp up his involvement in that offense. Clearly, the attention is going to be on Keenan Allen for Dallas. Mike Williams, he's what, 3,700, 3,800?
38, yeah. Yep. How about Cole Beasley, who will run most of his routes out of the slot, and if Dak is under duress and needs to dump it off, Cole Beasley's only 3,700, and he's a guy who scored two touchdowns just like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, his only good games have been he's had two touchdowns. Otherwise, he hasn't topped 33 yards this year. So
good times.
Yeah, I would pass. I think
so. Trevor's guaranteeing either two touchdowns or less than 33 yards.
Correct.
I can dig it. But no, yeah, he's a guy that like he feels like he scored on Thanksgiving a couple times last year too. He's always a guy you're like Cole. Like why wasn't I on Cole Beasley in this game? So, yeah, I like the Beasley angle.
All right.
Who else?
We didn't really talk about the Washington receivers, though. Jameson Crowder, I think, is a good play, 5,300. Without Chris Thompson, there's going to be some intermediate short targets to be had.
Yeah.
And Jameson Crowder lives at the line of scrimmage. He's got one of the lowest ADOTs in the league. And he's seen a lot of targets recently. I think, you know, we forget Jameson Crowder was excellent at times last year. And I think he's starting to regain some of that role. 13, 11, and 8 targets in his last three games.
I like how you're just, like, busting out ADOTs.
Yeah.
You're so in the know.
I hadn't ADOTed a lot this year, and I...
Maybe people who are listening aren't familiar with that term. What is it?
Average depth of target.
Okay.
So basically just how far down the field you're
What is his average depth of target?
Like
3 yards, 4 yards, something like that?
6.8.
Ooh,
eighth lowest in the league.
Pretty short.
You know what else ADOT is?
No.
If I had a box of the candy dots and I gave you one, I could say here is ADOT.
Like I said.
So it works on two levels.
Guy is just on fire today. It's amazing.
I like dots. Been a while.
What about Dippin' Dots?
Yeah.
Those are much better than regular dots.
Trevor and I can't see eye to eye on anything.
Let's go on to the tight end.
Wait, there was one more wide
receiver. Oh, there's one more wide receiver. Go.
Who is it? Who am I thinking of? I said Galladay.
Tyrell Williams. You're a big Tyrell Williams guy.
I was.
Travis Benjamin.
That's gone. By
Ryan
the way.
Grant.
Yeah.
Tavares King.
Ryan Grant will be on the field a lot.
Grant will be on the field for sure. With my boy Pryor on IR now. But no, Tavares King, possibly, or Roger Lewis, who had a. He's had a big catch last
3,600 and 3,400, respectively.
You know, secondary receivers against basically anyone who's not being covered by Josh Norman has some hope against Washington. But I don't know who would be. Yeah, it's tough. That's a coin flip there. But there is some intrigue there. I think there is something to be said about a giant stack, which is very contrarian. But
if Shepard doesn't play, who gets the slot routes? Do you know?
Is it just Evan Engram?
Probably.
Yeah.
No, I don't even. I don't know. This Ed Egan guy is even on the team? I have no idea. I don't know. Shepard's going to play, isn't he? Tell me.
He missed practice yesterday.
Yeah, he did miss practice again with the migraines. So.
Interesting.
It's not looking great for him.
Speaking of Evan Engram.
Let's talk about Evan Engram at the tight end position. Engram is your most expensive tight end, and it's not close. He's at 6,600. Got a pretty decent matchup this week. But his matchup's never as good as a matchup against the Giants. Vernon Davis at 5,600. I got to believe he's going to be so chalky.
Yeah, if Jordan Reed, probably not going to play, right? Not
it doesn't look like
though, the hamstring.
Like it, yeah.
Vernon Davis is priced. He's priced right, maybe even too cheap if he's the starting tight end against the Giants, who, as I predicted, did not surrender a touchdown to Travis Kelce last week.
That's true.
But 100 yards, obviously, about 7 and 100. So, yeah, still a great matchup.
The Giants did pick off a tight end last week, too. That was pretty impressive as well.
Way to go, Giants.
Yeah.
But, you know, we say it, or I don't podcast as much as I used to, but when we talk fan ball, you got to love the three tight end sets that are allowed there. And I think Engram,
Davis.
And I think Kyle Rudolph, who had 9 catches for 64 in his last game against Detroit, and Detroit is still a pretty good matchup for tight ends. Correct me if I'm wrong, T-Bone. But
yeah, Football Outsiders has them 29th against tight ends.
There you go, three tight end set. Those are my three.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm in agreement there. Washington is.
Oh, look at this.
Trevor agrees with me.
We found it.
Young Padawan finally agrees with me.
Washington's really bad against the tight end as well. And Engram's getting just all the targets. He's, you know, kind of the only guy with talent out there. So,
I'll never forget Larry Donnell's 3-touchdown game in Washington. Maybe Engram will replicate that.
So, if you have a 3-tight-end set and you go Engram, Davis, and Rudolph, how guaranteed are you to have at least the tight end portion of the Turkey Day 4-play?
I would say 99%, I would hope. I'd be shocked if one of those three were not the highest scoring.
The other tight end options are Witten at 45, Henry at 44, Ebron at 38. Maybe Antonio Gates shows up, but I can't imagine that would happen.
Henry, I could see something dirty happening with the San Diego. The L.A. tight ends. It's a good matchup with no Sean Lee.
And it would make no sense because they throttled down Henry's usage big time.
Yeah,
the
he's
last
like
3
2
weeks.
Targets like a game.
Yeah,
now.
So that would be kind of the. Of course he would score, you know, 2 touchdowns.
We're going to sit there on Thursday afternoon, and the three of us are going to have a text message going and say, yeah, of course.
Hunter Henry
has 2 touchdowns.
2 touchdowns. 2 catches, 2 yards, 2 touchdowns. Here it comes.
For defense, I think you can – there's a lot of defensive intrigue here, and that's probably going to be the thing that's going to win one of these big GPPs if – you're changing things around. Who's got the best chance at a defensive touchdown? To me, it's the Chargers.
Yeah.
Who are coming off a fantastic week last week, and there's no running game for Dallas, and their pass defense is the best thing that they have, and it just plays to their strengths.
Yeah, without Tyron Smith, Dallas has been just money for opposing fantasy defenses. Mm-hmm. Given up 12 sacks, turned the ball over 6 times in the past 2 weeks.
Yeah, the Chargers will probably be the most highest owned defense, I would think, coming off. What did they have, like 40 points last week in fantasy land?
Yeah. I think it was like 25.
Yeah, that defense is it's improving. And, yeah, Joey Bosa might just eat Dak Prescott alive on Thursday. So I'm with you. But, I like the Giants.
You said you like the Giants.
With that banged-up offensive line. And I don't know. They looked good last week, right? The Giants defense shutting down the Chiefs. Granted, it was at home. But
now, do we pay up for the Vikings D at $3,300? They're the most expensive. But really, as a fantasy defense, they've been crap this year as a fantasy defense. They're not recording a ton of turnovers. I don't think they have a defensive touchdown the entire season. They don't have a special teams one either. They're not turning the ball over a ton. They get a few sacks here and there, but their average fantasy points per game on FanBall is only 5. So at 3,300, they're kind of contrarian.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. And remember, on FanBall, we don't take into account the points allowed.
Correct.
So that's very fluky, impossible to predict.
Yeah.
So it's all turnovers, sacks, touchdowns.
That could be the offense's fault.
Yep, absolutely. So, yeah. That's the reasoning.
Okay, I got a lineup. Tell me if I'm going to win the Turkey Day foreplay. I have Case Keenum as my quarterback.
Nope.
Shit.
You're not going to win.
I think you're alive.
Melvin Gordon and Orleans Darkwa as my running backs. Thielen and Keenan. Thielen and Keenan is my wide receivers. I went with the Davis Engram Rudolph.
You can say Key and Thiel.
Key and Thiel.
That's good. That's real good.
I like that.
Damn right, it's good.
Davis Engram Rudolph for my 99% chance of getting the tight end right in the Chargers D. Yeah. It's so chalky, I feel.
Before we close, if you're going to Voltron stack one team, four players, which one?
Vikings.
Washington.
Why?
What am I missing? They have the highest. They have the highest team total. They're at home. Like, I don't know.
I don't know.
Hey, can we, Brian, spin up a side game between the three of us where Trevor Voltron stacks Washington, you Voltron stack the Giants, and I'll Voltron stack the Vikings, and we'll see how it works out.
Sure.
Let's do it.
All right.
Winner take all.
Works for me.
$100.
Might not do it then.
Four players. Has to be four.
I'll take
Could
the Vikings.
Five. All right.
All right.
Done.
Cool. All right. Thanks, everybody, for listening. And make sure to tune in on Friday morning. We will have the Sunday Slate DFS podcast up on Fantasy Football Almost Daily's podcast channel. And make sure to listen to all the other FanBall Podcast Network pods, including the FanBall Fantasy Football Show, which is just a mouthful for me, and I can never quite get it out. But Fish, Tuvi, and Clemens posted a podcast there today. Also, there will be a new Explosive Output podcast on later this afternoon with Chef Aaron Hagerdorn, who's a award-winning chef in the Twin Cities area. He's going to teach us some stuff about making your food even more delicious for Thanksgiving. Maybe he's got some tips on what you can put in the mashed potatoes to make them better.
What's your secret, Matt?
Cream cheese.
THC.
Yeah. Oh.
Both good options.
That would make
I want to go to Thanksgiving at Brian's house.
You ever seen The Doors?
You ever seen The Doors?
That Thanksgiving scene? That's great.
All right. Yeah, thanks, guys. We will see you all again next week on Fantasy Football Almost Daily.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.